It's a tradition in this place. The third week of every month, we come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the yoke breaker. In the burden lifter. It's the oil that lubricates life and take away frictions, difficulties. As a Christian, if you don't embrace anointing oil, you don't know what you are missing. It should never be far from you anywhere you are. Even when you are outside your house, you should have it close to where you can always pick it. It's the instrument to intimidate devil anywhere, anytime. Glory be to God. We continue with our topic, part 3, expressing noiseless breakthrough. Our text still remains Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 5, where we read last week. And now when he has finished speaking, not just speaking, he called Peter. He said, "Lean down into the deep for a draught. Let down your net for a draught." And Simon Peter answered, let's take note of his answer. He said, "Master, we have toiled all night." I don't know how much you have also toiled in life. I don't know how many attempts you have made to succeed, to become a celebrity in that area of your life, and all has failed. I don't know how many times you have take step, and the step lead to nowhere. And you are now asking yourself, what else will I do, Lord? I've done my best. I've done all that I know to do, but nothing is working. Probably, you are in the same state where Peter was. He said, "We have been here all night, and nothing, we have caught nothing." So we are going home. Bible says they were washing their net in verse 3. They were washing their net to go home. They have closed chapter. Maybe also you have thrown in the towel and said, "All is over. What else is remaining for me in this place, in this marriage, in this business, in this family, or whatever it is?" You are almost washing your net. Or you have washed your net. Hear one word he said. He said, "Nevertheless, at your word, in anything you are doing, and you don't consider what God says to be the final word, you are not set for his blessing." No matter the point you have come to in your life, let the word of God make a turn. Help you to turn. To change your mind and say, "No, this one I will not do. I won't give up. Why? Because the word of God says, "I should not give up." There's a promise for me in this matter that you can hold on. "Nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the net." And the story continued there. And their breakthrough was noiseless. Their colleagues who were at the other side, also doing fishing, and had nothing. They didn't have the word of Jesus. They didn't also hear what Peter's response was to him. But they saw the miracle. Noiseless breakthrough. A breakthrough that does not make noise. But the effect cannot be denied. The results are very loud. They don't break you down, but they lift you up. That's a noiseless breakthrough. And in those people, Peter and his colleagues, they had a noiseless breakthrough. They couldn't drag the net because of the physical insight. Too much for them. They called their colleagues, "Come and assist them." Probably you are here today, hear the word of the Lord, and you are jobless. God is saying that very soon you become an employer of labor. You don't believe it. So it's not for you. Those who believe it, it shall be for them. Amen. Employer of labor. In other words, God will give you an idea. You will develop, and it will be too much for you to handle alone. You will need others to come and join to handle it. Amen. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So noiseless breakthrough is not about your feeling. It's not. It's not about how big your challenge is. It's not. It's not. It's not. Never. It is your obedience to divine instruction. When it tells you stop, please stop. When it tells you go, please go. When they don't do it this way, don't harden your heart. There is nothing you are doing that does not have an option. If you are asked to stop it. If God asks you, either quietly to you, or through his servants, or any godly counsel, you can truly stop it. Anything you are saying is there, you know, nature of my business, nature of my work, nature of my family, nature of my health, all this one. That story. God does not listen to explanation. He listens to compliance. So at any point you are explaining, it has gone. You can't get his attention anymore. Once his word go forth, there's nothing left for you to do than to comply. Because that's all your miracle is. They were widow of Zarephath. 2 Kings 17. Verse 3 to 5. Sorry. 2 Kings, yes. 17. The woman did not hear the voice of God. God didn't tell her, bring out the meal you have and give to the servant of God. Did God tell her? It was man of God talking. She believed it. And the man of God told her that even though there's famine, you will never suffer famine again. And when famine truly came, she escaped it. The widow of the prophet, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 3 to 5, when he came to complain to the man of God and said, look, my husband, your servant, you know him, he died. But he died in debt. You will not die in debt. Your prayer will not die in debt. Say amen. But this man died in debt. Now they have come to kidnap my two sons to make slaves to pay for their father's debt. That will not be your story. So the man of God asked her, what do you have? It doesn't make sense. Yeah, I have nothing except one pot of oil. You see, that's enough for me to do miracle for you. Go and do this. Go and do this. Does it make sense to start borrowing pot from people, from your neighbor? See, when you want to get the pot, do. You can't tell them. Mama Sisi, you are borrowing my pot. What are you, for what? Are you going to the river? He said, no, just give me. No, it looks suspicious. Am I correct? I don't really want. Then you go to the next neighbor and borrow. They saw you just bringing pot. Just bringing pot. Just bringing pot inside. There are many Christians who have missed their miracle because they are looking for the approval of men. If I do like this, how would men see me? If you want a miracle from God, you must not consider man's feeling. So noiseless breakthrough does not consider your feeling or how great your challenge is. Just based on instruction. Go home, lock the door. Be filling every container that enter your house. And when the last one full, the oil will stop, and that was end. And he came back and said, house not full of oil, so go and sell it. Pay your debt and leave what? With the rest. That woman never had reason to beg or approach anybody for any needs. But what did he do? Simple obedience. One of the great challenges of every one of us as Christians is to obey. Even when you are trying to obey, social media will tell you something else. I was glad one of our brother here was talking to us in our class. Someone wanted to derail him while going to his workshop. But thank God he can hear the voice of God. He said the Holy Spirit. When he said Holy Spirit, I put my hand on my head. That is the answer. Holy Spirit said, no, don't do what this man said. And that's how you escape it. But you may be considering, is it the Holy Spirit? Is this one, not this one? But thank God he was able to differentiate between the voice of men and the voice of God. If you don't know how to hear from God, it's a different teaching you need from us. Because if a Christian is not hearing from God, he's dead. You are not far from trouble. You must keep hearing and hearing and hearing continuously every time. And you must know how God speaks to you. It's not one way. He considers your system. He picks what you can understand from your life to speak to you. But he speaks to everybody. But not everybody understands his language. Glory be to God. She simply obeyed, and then a miracle happened for her. The impossible was made possible. She got out. And last week, we're talking about the law of obedience. Am I correct? Talk about law of obedience. Instruction you keep, the timing, the future you create. There was a man in my village. I grew up from a very humble background. We are all farmers. My father was a farmer, very decent farmer. There's a one man around our location, our house. People used to go to farm around 5:30. People have left. Because the farm, some of them are very far. But there's this particular man that leave home around 3 a.m. His wife has called to report him. He said they should leave him, that his farm is far. But there are neighbors around you also who farm near you, who live 5:30 or 5. For several years, he was doing this and escaping it. The upper of our village, our place, called him and warned him. He said, upper, they give him food. But they left him. One day he went to the farm under 3 a.m. Whether it's Fulani or we don't know, they went there. The people that were going, that left home around 5:30 were going to farm. They met his dead body before his farm. They cut him into pieces. They didn't bring him home to come and bury. Oba said no boys will bring pieces boy to his domain. Let's bury him inside his farm. You know, there are things they tell you. Ordinary people just tell you. Don't walk again the night, you will not hear. The day and night will visit you. You don't like it. Don't walk in darkness. You say no. Nothing happened. Nothing happened to you. You are still going about. The day darkness will visit you, there will be no remedy. That's how that man lost his life. All the children, nobody got husband to marry, the daughters. He had no son. I remember he had 3 daughters. I know of Bukwe, I know of Fumi, and the other one, I can't remember the third name. Nobody married them in my place. Their father no get grave in our village. He didn't just kill himself. He killed the destiny of his daughters. Be careful. Instructions. The one you follow now determine the future you will live in tomorrow. I think that one you will stop last week. Am I correct? Good. For when I tell you don't do this, if you love yourself, please stop. Don't give excuse. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. But every obedience you carry out brings you noiseless breakthrough in one way or the other. So today we'll look at benefit of obedience. Please make reference to our last week's teaching. I will not be able to repeat it. Benefit of obedience. Obedience has enormous benefit. As God will never ask you to do anything that will not bring you profit. Not him. And those who love you tell you, stop this. Don't walk late in the night. Don't go out too early in the morning. They're not taking anything from you. It's your life. If you die, they live their life. If you ever see a man that died and the wife jump inside the grave, church, I'm asking you, as much as love was in their midst. Am I correct? Or I've seen a man that died and the children jump inside there and say, bury us with our father. Eh? They want to cry, man, to close. People do what? They say, move back. Now he go, only he go. Okay? Madam, if somebody is giving you an advice, stop doing this, and you harden your heart, give me an excuse about it, the day the evil will visit you, Nobody participates. Every instruction carries a blessing. And last week I said that God will not advance his instruction to you when the last one he gave you, you have not obeyed. He does not, it's not a talkative. Some people say, God, don't talk to me again. He can't talk. He's waiting for you to be the last one. So if you have what God asked you to do and you are disobeying it, you are breaking the law. Well done. You are telling him, don't speak again. Glory be to God. So obedience has advantage for you, not for God. And not for any man. It's for yourself. Principally for yourself. And everything God asks us to do is for our benefit. God doesn't use men. He blesses people. He will never take advantage of anybody. Number one benefit, when you obey God, what happened to you? He secure and sustained supernatural blessings. Galatians 21, verse 13, you will see there. If thou shalt obey diligently all this, then the blessing, verse 2, will follow you and pursue you and overtake you. It is you. The matter is you, not God. The blessing is not God, it's you. He only gives what will help you as instruction out. You are the one to follow. When he says you serve me and I will bless you, it's you. If you don't serve him, he loses nothing. When he says, give me and I will give you back and I will bless you. If you don't give him, he loses nothing. He see you and I. We are the center point of everything, of every blessing. So when you obey God, you do what? He secure you blessing. Not just secure you blessing, he help you to maintain the blessing. So obedience will help you to provoke, unlock the generational blessings. Not just you, your children come and enjoy it also. I've come to a point as a pastor, forgive me if you're angry with this, but I've come to a point in my life, I said that not everyone truly wants to be blessed. You just present to pastor that they have issue. Even the issue, they don't want to come out of it. Because everything I ask them to do, they will break it. They are not concerned about themselves. So they come once in a while to tell you to play one role of whatever. Instruction you cannot follow cannot benefit you. You want to be blessed by God. Supernatural blessing, covenant blessing. What will secure it for you is your obedience to God's word. If you don't obey the law of financial blessing, no matter how much you labor, no matter what you gather today, it has no future. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen landlords who became tenants. I've seen men with 4 or 5 cars with this my 2 eyes in their houses before, and today they're trekking. And they're not dead. Whatever you gather outside God's word has no eternal future. The day the owner of Peugeot died, that's the way the company died. That's the day the company died. The son took over. But what happened to it? He does not have revelation of his father. And he's also a disobedient person. Everything, every covenant that the father was keeping, the first car manufactured in that company every year when the father was there, is for God. He will drive it to the church, like the father, and give the pastor. And tell the pastor, if you need anybody that needs a church, fine. That's first fruit. Are you hearing me? Every sale, every month, the father paid tithe. The son came and said, I don't believe in this one. That's my father's servant. Today, where's Pijo? They were almost every country of the world. They were the rainy car. Today, Toyota has taken over. Even other small, useless cars are taken over. Pidgeot of those days. Can go to Maiduguri and come back. If you say, go again, you will go. No, you're tired. But where is it? The son came back. Look, if you don't follow the instruction of God, you can't secure his blessing. Your holiness will not give you anything. Even though you need it, if you break the law of financial blessing, the law of prosperity, you can't prosper. You like fast, you like pray. And the law of prosperity operates only on one law, the law of giving and what? And receiving. You don't need to pray. I don't pray on my offering. I don't pray on my tithe. I don't tell God, this is what you gave me, this is my tithe. Thank you for the opportunity. I know the result. I know the man that pray over it. If you want to eat now, you pray over food. Am I correct? Say, Father, I bind the devil in this food. Is this your right to bind? If you are a servant, it's not you to pray over your food. It's God that bless the food. He said, thou shalt serve the Lord your God. And I will bless your water and what? And your bread. And take what? Sickness out of your body. This is God's responsibility, but you won't serve God. So when you carry food, you will pray until saliva finishes your mouth. We had a brother in our campus, my mama can still remember. If he's praying, we have finished eating before he opens his eye. Because when he thinks he has finished praying, he says, hallelujah, hallelujah. He wants to remember on that prayer point. Hallelujah. Everybody has finished eating. If all day, he said, we'll tell the reverend all day. The man is late now. It's not our business to do that prayer. We have served the Lord. When we carry our food is blessed. Just give thanks. Father, I receive this food with what? Thanksgiving. Blessed be God. And start the business. Obedience will secure you God's supernatural blessings. He will unlock it for you. He will establish God's blessing in your life. Because where your obedience stops, that's where your blessing stops. You cannot get any blessing over and above where your obedience stops. Forget about it. It doesn't work that way. This church, from what we get from you, we pay tithe of it. This church is an ardent tither. 17 years ago, every month, when we do any spending, we calculate what we have and pay the tithe of it. We have no regrets. And I believe that is also giving everybody here security. Because principally what tithe does for you is security. We have never said we have a need and tithe. No. Can never happen. And when opportunity avails, we still help the poor. We can't be praying for money. How many times have we prayed for money in the church for 70 years now? Ask my pastor whether I've ever gathered them one day and said, please, let's join our hand together and agree. Let God bring money. God doesn't bring money like that. It's giving. Just keep giving. Just keep giving. When your cloud is full, it's full, your rain will come down. No devil can hinder it. If it's not falling on you, the cloud is not free. Keep filling it with your good works. Glory be to God. You want to enjoy God's supernatural blessing financially or otherwise, keep the instructions. Obey the Lord that guide that area. So obey. And you can't be hypocritical about it. And just drop something and write tithe. And when you get to heaven write offering. Say, no, it's not. We know his tithe. We know her tithe. Put offering there. So when the brother come after you, everyone keep quiet. Everyone knows that even if they speak, they will argue it. Number two, benefit of obedience. When you obey God, what happened to you? It triggers your supernatural breakthroughs and promotions. When you are living in obedience to God's word and to divine instructions, it triggers your breakthroughs. You are not stagnated. And you don't go backward. You don't live from hand to mouth. It's not possible. And never you run away from somebody who is already troubling you to obey, to do the right thing. You say, Akila, now, I don't know where they go talk. There was one prophet in the Bible. And the king. Jehu asked the king. After what he said, go and fight, you will win. He said, well, you don't have, I said, no, I don't like that prophet. Because he does not speak good about me. Huh? Jehu told him, that is the man that you should listen to. He said, no, go listen. The man came and talked. He didn't obey the man. He went there and died. So it's God that helped King Jehu to escape. Don't always move around people who approve everything you are doing. The man also who speak, and who make an observation another way, listen very well. You may be speaking God's voice. I'm not saying that negative things are always from God. Never. But that warning people give you that will adorn your life very well or good, but we'll throw it away. Luke chapter 5, verse 5 to 7. Every breakthrough you see in the Bible, every breakthrough testimony, is deeply rooted in compliance with God's word. If you can't comply with God's word, it doesn't work. You want to marry, there's a law guiding marriage. You know you can't obey the law, don't marry. Leave it. Don't go into it. There's a law guiding it. It's better you remain single in your father's house. Or the man remains single in his father's house too. If you know you can't comply. There's a law guiding it. Before you marry, ask yourself. Because there's nothing you see in a man that will not fail as time goes on. There's no physical thing you see in a woman, her shape, whatever. They will all fall away one day. But there's a law. If you are keeping the law, the beauty, the honor remains there every time. So every phase of our life is guided by God's word. And anyone you can't obey, you have denied yourself of the blessing of that area. No matter how much you pray and how much you fast. So when you follow divine dictate, it serves as silent force that shattered invisible forces in your life. Enemy is pursuing me. This one is after my life. They are coming from village, my family lineage, my this one. Just keep to God's word and see how God will deal with them. As I ask you, the part that I will tell you always come for deliverance. Come for deliverance. Where did he come from? Him, where did he come from? Always show you devil that the devil come from your village. This attack is from home. He don't get home. He didn't tell you obedience. Obedience is the key to deliverance, to freedom. You can deliver yourself. If you have spiritual wife or spiritual husband, there's key to it. It's obedience to the word. See how you run your life in a day. So why won't a stranger come and touch you in the night? Either woman or man. It's compliance to God's word that brings total freedom in any area of life. If you have age and nobody's coming for you, or anybody you talk to, they say no, nobody ever rejecting you. There's a law that is broken. Trace it back and start obeying it. You meet your spouse. You want obstacle removed. The best bet for you is God's word. Obedience. Because it will secure you the breakthrough you needed. Number 3. It will also make you pass the test. The test to a change of level. It makes you to pass the test to a change of your level, or of levels. Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4. That was where Abraham began. And God said, leave your country. Leave your father's house. To a place I will show you. I will do this. I will do that. And in verse 4, the Bible says, the man left. Not knowing where he was going. He just left blindly. Today, God can't give us instruction without first proving it first. God, show me sign. Am I correct? Lord, show me sign. Do you need sign to obey God? The sign you think God show you, it will be God to show you. By your mind, they show you sign. Because many people come to point me and say, Pastor, God show me sign to marry this girl. God show me sign to marry this man. And the thing has collapsed. I say, God didn't show you anything. You were looking for signs. You were throwing flea or fleas. Just obey Bible. Obey God's instruction. If you pass one test, he take you to another one. He told Abraham, leave. The man left. It's okay. At 99, he told him, go and circumcise yourself and Ishmael your son and everybody in your house, including your slaves. And the Bible says, that same day that God spoke to him, what happened? The man obeyed. Oh, God advanced him. He made the promise of chapter 12 smaller compared to the one in that chapter 17. Then he moved again to 22. He said, now Isaac is born. Carry him. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering for me. The instruction God is giving him were tougher. When he left the house, it's very simple. He said, come on, they go. Let me say, but to cut your foreskin by yourself or a slave cut you, it's painful as an adult. Now God was graduating him to a higher level of blessing, but also giving him what? A tougher instruction. To see if he can trust Abraham and let all the world be blessed through him, all the world. And the man said, no problem. You want Isaac? I shall roast him for you. I will roast him, no problem. He carried him. He carried his knife to cut the boy's neck. God said, no, yes, sir. This is too much for you. And so then, when God wanted to bless him, there was nothing God can use to bless him than himself. He swore by himself. He said, I swear by myself that for doing this, sir, that is the highest level of any man's blessing. When God himself swore by himself on you to bless you. Then on what edge will you use to swear? It's bigger than everything. It's bigger than everyone. But it didn't happen the day he called him. He was testing him. He was testing him. Let me tell you, what determines the amount of commitment of God into your life is to the instruction you have kept, not the one he gave you. How many of them have you kept? That what determines his commitment to your life. So if you're not committed to obeying him, you don't know what you are missing. One of us in our group, in our Sunday school here, gave one analogy and said, be careful who you relate what God asks you to do with. Maybe your friends, your neighbor, your colleagues say, God asked me to do this. Say, you are stupid. You are what? Because himself is a stupid man. Or stupid woman. Say, you know, guess how can you do like that? No, man, you know, be God. All these pastors, you won't follow them because he has no pastor. Obedience will open you up for blessing. Once you pass the test, sir, you just go in and bless every day. The issue is to pass the test, and you can pass it. I can pass it. Everyone can pass it. Look at your mind that whatever God asks me to do, I will do it. That's all. You can't hear from God, but somebody is telling you God's mind. Then follow him or follow her. You are hearing God already. Abraham was a good example of a man who was promoted based on every stage of instruction that he obeyed. When Sarah came and said, send this girl, send this boy out of the house. Are you hearing me? This is a boy that Ishmael has been more, this guy has been more used to him than Isaac that is just small, 1 year old. But this guy has been around 7 or 6 years. And I have been sending him, go and bring that call for me. The boy has been doing it for him. Now nobody will serve Isaac, Abraham. And the woman said, let this boy live. The Bible says, the thing became very grievous in the heart of who? Abraham. I can't send my son away because of you. And now the characteristic of almost all women. What man can courage? If a woman born outside and bring home, a man can courage it. If you born your own, they won't hide from you. I'm sorry, my mothers and my sisters, but that's your character. They will find a way to fight it. Say that, fought it. And when the man was trying to fight back, God said, look, do what the woman said. Give me one piece, do I? Immediately God put mouth. Say, God put mouth. Brethren, say after me, God put mouth. Abraham, do like this. Chicken, huh? Haggai, come. Carry your, take this bread, take this bottle of water, carry your pekin, and leave the house. Not knowing where the boy was going. But you only listen to the hand of God. And God also intervened. Nothing is too big for Abraham to obey. Nothing. Somebody that can kill his child. What else? What is left for him? That was after he had driven Ishmael away. Now the only one. The Bible even say, your son, whom you love. Am I correct? Uh-huh. Go and roast him for me. And the man that obey God. May God bless our father Abraham. May God help us to be like him. In obedience, in Jesus' precious name. Number four, am I correct? It establishes divine presence. I want to read this scripture. Can give us Joshua 1 verse 7 and 9. Joshua 1 verse 7 and 9. Obedience commit God to manifest himself in your life. God is not bound by your prayer, by anything, by your anointing, by your fasting, to manifest himself in your life. In the affairs of your life, it's not bound. But it's bound by obedience when you keep his word. Let's read this. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, God speaking here, not somebody, commanded thee, turn not from me to the right, to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever you go. Verse 9. Hath I now commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, the way he said in verse 7. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord your God is what? Wheresoever thou goest. Can you see? It bring God along with you. Anything you are doing is with you. Anybody looking, running after your life to destroy the work of your hand, to wreck you, to destroy you, they are wasting their time. The person following you is more than them. And God can cause sudden death, unexplained death for anybody try to attempt you. Why? Because you are an obedient person. You keep the instructions. If you can't obey, you can't be blessed. You won't want to manifest yourself in your life, in what you do, in your business, in your marriage, in everywhere. Please, obey him. Obedience will give you that. Number five. It guarantees supernatural supplies. You want to prosper? God provide for you. Want to live as a beggar or live in penury, live in suffering that you can't explain, but this isn't just working for you the way you want it. Obedience. Obedience will commit God to give you supernatural supplies. John 2 verse 5 to 9. Verse 5, he said, what shall I tell you? He said, do it. Then I say, bring water. Pour it here. First for me, go and give the governor. The governor drank, and the thing became wine. The breakthrough came. On the platform of obeying instructions. Drop your net here and catch fish. Despite your suffering, despite all the giving up, don't worry, just draw it. And they obey, and the thing happens. So complete compliance to God's word connect you to a realm of abundance, of everything. You keep prospering. Others will be chanting, shouting, economic meltdown. But for you, it's different. You won't feel it. You won't feel it. Because God is committed. Your obedience brought him. Your compliance brought him. Quickly, before we go, let's look at how to make our obedience acceptable before God and before man. Or how to make our obedience potent that can yield fruit or yield benefits. We have seen the benefit like this. How do I obey to enjoy this benefit? That's what I'm going to say. So how to make your obedience acceptable so that you can get these benefits. Number one, your obedience must be complete. Partial obedience is equal to disobedience. It must be complete. Don't do half and leave the rest. You did what is convenient for you, not what you are commanded. What is commanded may not be convenient. But you must do it that way. Number one benefit, or what you must do, you, to make your obedience potent that can yield fruit for you, is that it must be complete, not partial. 1 Samuel 15, verse 3, verse 9, and then verse 20 to 23. The story of Saul. God gave him a command in verse 3. Go and destroy all the Amalekites. Don't spare anything. Am I correct? And the man went there to go and destroy them. He said, don't spare anybody. Don't spare, destroy everything. Burn everything they have. He went there. That's obedience. To do it. But was it complete? He spared something that are good. It's all good women. He keep them. It's all good cow. He keep them. It's all young men that are very healthy that can use for farm. He keep them. Even their king, Agob, he keep him. He kept him. And when Samuel came and said, have you obeyed the Lord? Yeah, we have done everything. He said, what are these ram that I'm hearing their son there? He said, yeah, we brought them for sacrifice. Who sent you? I will keep this one to serve God tomorrow. But God said, give everything today. Don't go there. Stop walking the night. You say, no, my customer only come in the night. If they come and they don't meet you, will they die? Huh? And they ask you, if they come and they don't meet you, will they die? They won't die. It's the way you want to do it. And they come there by 6 p.m., they don't meet you by 6 p.m. Tomorrow they will come 5:30 or 5. But because you have been used to working in the night, they keep your shop is open on Sunday, your shop is open. Your shop is open on Sunday, you're a Christian. You sold from Monday to Saturday. And then use Sunday sales to destroy all the income you have in the week and pollute them. When God said, thou shalt honor the law of Sabbath. Rest. Rest. Only me you serve on Sunday. Don't do anything. You say no. 7 days for work. No day for God. Now, if you are here, after here, now you are going to work. And you are not that you are employed, you are not a policeman, you are not a soldier, you are not a doctor or a nurse. You are the employer of yourself. You go and open the place. To serve Milo. You say, the bread where I carry yesterday, if I don't sell that today, by tomorrow you're going to smell. Yesterday, why you don't carry small? And plan for today. Some of you will not even go and stay there. You push your children to destroy that tomorrow. Teach them how to disobey God. It's doable because we have done in our house. We had a shop before, but you have screwed that shop down because we don't have time again. But if you knock my gate on Sunday, are you wasting your time? You only hear my dogs answering you inside. They will even be abusing us. We'll be hearing them. We will not be Christian. People not go chop. Why not buy your chop yesterday? Why are you coming to disturb me today? We know they open. It's a law. Your obedience must be complete. Now you come to church in the morning. You are obeying God. Am I correct? You are obeying love Sabbath. Let me go and worship God. But when you finish here, you go and send me low. You go and open your shop. Christian who is even still selling alcohol. You go and open alcohol shop and get people drunk. That's why your life is misbehaving. Because you are feeding every day. People are misbehaving. And they have a destiny that you are destroying. Be careful. Christian selling weed. Christian selling cigar. Igbo. Hard drugs to make men, to make people high. You dare hard that even women are high now. I say, hey, women? He say, hey, pastor, you don't know? I know women where they high, where every day. You see that eye is red like this. I say, eh? It's when I came to the north, I saw women drinking beer. In my village, they see you drinking beer, nobody will marry you. If I nobody marry your children, that they have sell yourself and your children to life imprisonment. Nobody will marry them. Your son, nobody will marry him. You see a woman carry beer, put on top table like this, carry chair, put cup, or even carry bottle like this. It's when I came here, I saw it. I said, I did you delay you. Looking very strange. But people do it. Where even decent men in my place don't drink beer outside their room. They buy it and bring it to the house and sit down. They must drink the drink that they have. Nobody will see when they are drinking, not even their children. I know one man, if he's going to buy beer or palm wine, we know. That's when he wears a bariga. No matter the heat, wear a bariga. Then when he's coming, all his hands are inside. He's walking like this. Then we children will know that, about the bengon, about the bengon, about don't carry something. We know he don't carry something. And but quietly, he will enter his house and tell the children, I don't want to see anybody here. You see that he doesn't want to teach the children that drink, but they know that he's drinking. They know. Yeah, I don't know whether he's putting it in the mouth or in the nose, because they never see him. Glory be to God. Your obedience must be complete. Don't do it partially. Don't obey God in the morning and then go and break the, complete that service, that circle of obedience. Complete it. Anything you are doing for God must be complete. Number two, your obedience must be prompt. What did I say? Don't delay it. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Want God to put something in your heart, either to do for somebody, or to do for him, or to do for yourself. Don't drag your feet. Sharp, sharp. Delay obedience is equal to disobedience. The Lord bless you. Say the Lord bless you. In the name of Jesus. Number three. It must be delightsome. Your obedience must come out of love for God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Serving and obeying God must be done in the place of love. Cheerfully. Do it cheerfully. Some obey, but they complain. Some obey. In the place of their obedience, they have more money. You destroy the blessing. They have more money. Huh? How would I do this money now? In our partner, you bring $200 every month. Where I go see him? He will say, come and pay the $200. But he has done $10,000 complaint and more money at home. The one who brought is useless. There are people who train their children with complaint with more money. They are not doing it cheerfully. They are not happy. That they are even spending money on their children. Not in the hospital, but in their education. In their well-being. They are doing as parents, but they are complaining. They have more money. Nobody took your children to that school. Take them to LEA. Where you can pay with your left hand, my very small. But you by yourself carry them to school where you pay higher. Then don't complain. But your money and complaint spoil the benefit, spoil your joy, spoil the blessing. Both for you and the children. It must be the lesson. You must do it cheerfully. Serve God cheerfully. Because you love Him. From the place of love, give cheerfully. Don't see God as diminishing you when you give to Him. Either through tithe, or through your offering, or through donations, or whatever you are doing for God. Do it cheerfully. Don't complain. Your complaint, no money finishes the blessing. You will get nothing in reward, or as reward for what I've done. And the last one, before we leave the service, what you will do to make your obedience acceptable. One can be obeying God and yet no blessing, because these things are lacking. God told you last year, do this, you didn't do it, you are not doing it in 2026. After he has forgotten. Somebody has done it, you don't know. Number five, am I correct or number four? Obedience must be continuous, not one-off event. Oh, I obeyed God last year. No, I even obeyed him last week. Then this week he don't finish. I'll do my own. Obedience or what? Must be continuous. Keep doing it. Because you need daily blessing. You need God to bless you every day. You need help from him every day. He need to help you every day. You must keep obeying him every day. Never you go in retirement when it comes to obedience to God. Don't try it. It's a lifelong covenant event. As long as you are alive, you are obeying him. You are keeping to his instruction. You are keeping to his word. The requirement to obey God has no expiring date. As long as you live, you keep obeying him. But Abraham is a good example. Very good. An embodiment of obedience. From his call to separation between him and Lot, from that to sending to the circumcision, from there to ask his son to leave the house, because that is what God wants that time. Another one is that bring your child, your only one, the one you love, sacrifice him for me. He didn't even ask God a question. And he left without telling his wife so that he can be able to obey. That's why you must be very careful. I've seen that men who insist that their wife must tell them everything are lazy men. And men who want to live on women. So you must know how he spent her salary. You must know everything about her money. About what she has. And women to whom want to know everything are the domineering women. Say, your money is our money. Then my own money is my money. That's all women normally say. This man left. He didn't tell his wife. If it's today, Holy Ghost woman. Born again, filled with the Holy Ghost today, Pentecostal. He will ask you, where are you going to? Say, I want to go and do one worship. He said, I will follow you. Why? Because he carried a PK. He said, let's go together. We are one. Let's go and do what? I listened to one man of God. He said, he goes to holiday without his wife and go and rest. When the wife too, he tell the wife, go and rest without me. He will fund the journey. Or he will fund the, he said, even in the same town, sometimes he will leave the house for 1 week. He tell the wife, want to go out anywhere, go to the hotel where I stay, you can go and stay there 1 week. But you see, in our day, women will get angry. That's why. If I carry my picking, I want to go and kill. The man will carry knife for. Maybe so. The wife see him carrying knife. Apparently the knife was not sharpened very well. He was still sharpening it. And he didn't carry goat when he was going. You know, it looked very suspicious. As me carry gold, say, and I good, this gold they go use. Why didn't carry gold? Didn't carry any animal. And the wife said, no, I go escort you. We are one. The man just left. He didn't tell the wife anything. Whether the wife has not woken up in the morning, where the man escaped, nobody knows. But at least thank God for Sarah. He allowed him to go alone, to do the will of God. Sir, how can God test a man's obedience more than this? Assuming God allowed him to kill, what do you call him? Isaac. What will he come back and tell Sarah? A child was there for 25 years before the child came. He said, you see? You see? You see? He won't say you see before the woman killed him. You just kill him for not for, for. That's all. And who will he be that you go and kill my child without telling me? Even though those who are giving their children for sacrifice, the wife and the husband discuss it. Because they will spend the money together. Say, I will burn four, let's carry one inside. May God forgive people. Glory be to God. Your obedience must be continuous. No break. What did I say? Can you please arise?